his gospel explanation, learning about the pure gospel, what it is, what it means, what God has done for us through Christ. And now we move on to talk about gospel application. And as we do so, we've already learned through through Ephesians, that holiness or godliness is the goal of the Christian life. We're saved by grace through faith in Christ, but we're not just saved for heaven. We're saved here, in a sense, we're saved to bring heaven down to earth, if you like, as we become the godly, holy people that God calls us to be, becoming more and more like Jesus, as Paul says in chapter 5, to walk in the way of love. But as we reflect on that, how do we become like Jesus? How do we become the godly people he calls us to be? We know that is a huge challenge and deserves a lot of reflection. So let's go back into the Word now and learn more about how we do that. So reading from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 20. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We've already prayed our prayer for illumination and song. Let's just take a moment, though, to just let this word of God sink into our hearts and minds. Thank you. Let us begin to reflect further on this word of the Lord. And as we do so, I want to tell you about something that happened last week. We had, the elders and I had the privilege of enfolding three new families into our church through a membership class. And this is a class that we conduct over the course of an evening. It starts with a nice supper meal that one of our elders hosted one night, and then we helped provide another the second night. And in this class, we talk about one of the things we do is talk about how God is working in our lives. We talk about how he's worked in our lives in the past, maybe giving our faith story or our personal testimony. And I'll tell you, that is such an encouragement to hear how God is working in the lives of his people, past and present. And I always leave these gatherings just so encouraged at what God is doing in the lives of his people. And it reminded me, hearing these stories, these personal testimonies, reminded me of Paul's words in the text just before our sermon text. He talks about how, he says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." All of us, whether we grew up in a Christian home, or we did not, and we came to faith in Christ later, we've all encountered or experienced that idea of being pulled out of the darkness. Because even as a Christian growing up in a Christian home, there's moments when we stumble and fall, and we go our own way, and God just, he just pulls us back out of the darkness into light. And so that's what Paul has just talked about. And now he goes on to talk about what it means to live as a child of the light. And so we have the privilege of exploring what that means. So we can leave this, we can live as children of light here in this sanctuary, but also as we leave this place and go and serve him in the world. So how do we become the children of light God is calling us to be? Well, the first thing Paul talks about, and this is, I find this very interesting, but he says the first thing we need to do is to learn how to be wise. And as we think about that, it may strike us as a little unusual. We may think, well, how is that part of this walk of the Christian faith? But God is a God of wisdom, and he says, you need to learn how to be wise. So what does that mean? Well, according to Paul, it's learning how to make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And I was thinking about, what is Paul saying here when he says the days are evil? I mean, we're living in the kingdom of God here. This world belongs to God. Surely not everything is evil. And I don't think that's what Paul's saying. I think he's saying something like this. He's saying, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. He's saying, don't just waste your life doing whatever you want. You have an important job to do, and you have a limited time to do it here on this earth. I think he's saying, you may be living as a child of the light, but you know what? There are many, many people who are living in the dark. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your time. Reach out to them. How will they come to know that Jesus is the light of the world if you are not stepping into their dark world as a child of the light? I think that's what Paul's saying. And so as we think about how do we do that, how do we become wise, making the most of every opportunity, I believe Paul is calling us to be reflective and intentional about our days. And, you know, we have lots more to think about here, but maybe this is enough. How are we doing at being reflective and intentional of our days? How are we using our time? Are we spending hours in front of a screen? Are we spending hours doing certain activities that are maybe fun, but are they really all that important? Something for us to think about as we learn how to be wise, so we can be the children of light that God calls us to be. Paul says, be wise, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And I think if you've lived a few years of life, you have a sense of what it means to be wise and not foolish. But in case we're not sure what that means, Paul gives us one very obvious, clear example: drunkenness. Now, as we deal with the issue of drinking alcohol to get drunk, I want to be very careful because I recognize this is a huge challenge for many people in the world. And there may even be some right here who are struggling with drinking or another addiction of some kind. And I want to be very sensitive. I do not want to condemn you, but Paul talks about this issue of drunkenness as being a point of foolishness that we need to avoid. And so if you are struggling with an addiction of some kind, please, I beg you, go get help. And we would love to help you as a church family in terms of walking alongside and praying for you and administering pastoral care. But you may need even help beyond that. And I have talked with recovering alcoholics, and the journey that they're on, it is a long, hard journey, but it is one that God can help you overcome. So thanks be to God for that. But if you talk to one of those recovering alcoholics or drug addicts, I believe, and I've heard them say this, and I believe they would say, it's a waste of a life. It's a waste of a good life. It's a waste of time. And that's what Paul talks about. That interesting word, debauchery, we're not used to using that word. It means wasting your life. Living your life like it's a waste. Just doing whatever you want. You know, in that you see those movies and the people are spending hours in the bar or the pub, just kind of drinking their life away. That's what I think of, wasting your life. But you may be thinking, well, drunkenness is only one of many foolish acts that Paul could address here. It's true. Why would he choose drunkenness as his foolish act in this passage when he's talking about being wise? Well, I think it is because of this. Paul is preparing now to go into the rest of his lesson which is about being filled with the Spirit. How do we become children of light? We seek to be wise. We avoid foolishness. How do we do that? By being filled with the Spirit. And interesting, when you drink enough alcohol, you're no longer in control of yourself, are you? You are controlled by the spirit of alcohol, if you like. Paul is saying, don't be controlled by a spirit of alcohol or some other addiction. He's saying, be controlled by the Spirit. What a powerful analogy. Paul is saying, in a sense, be drunk in the Spirit. Be so filled with the Spirit that you are drunk or controlled by the Spirit. That is how you will go on to be a child of the light who shines the light of Christ in this world. So, that leads us now to the rest of our lesson, because we need to explore what does it mean to be filled or drunk with the Spirit. And so I'd like to now explore the rest of our text by asking three different questions. The first one is, who is the Spirit? Now, if you're hearing this for the first time, you maybe haven't grown up with the language of faith to understand who the Spirit is. Well, the Spirit is actually the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the third person of the triune God. In the Orthodox Christian faith, we understand God to be Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one, three gods in one. And the Bible reveals God to us in this very mysterious and profound way. God the Father is the Creator. God the Son is the Savior. God the Holy Spirit is the Sanctifier, the one who makes us holy, helps us become more and more like Jesus, which is our mission in life. And happily, God helps us become like Jesus through the Spirit who actually indwells us. Because He is a Spirit, He can indwell our bodies. And then as He indwells us as we repent of our sins, we turn away from them, and we open our hearts up to God, and we hear and believe the gospel that God has saved us from our sin and misery through the shed blood of Christ. We humble ourselves and we accept that good news. Then God, the Spirit, enters us, and He calls us to be baptized either as children or as adults. And in that context of faith, we grow to become like Jesus, and the Spirit helps us do that. It's just a beautiful story and a wonderful provision that God gives us. So that is the Holy Spirit. Second question, how are we filled with the Spirit? Interestingly, Paul says he commands us to be filled with the Spirit. If you look in the Greek text, there's two commands in this passage. One is do not get drunk. The other, pretty straightforward, right? The other is be filled with the Spirit. How in the world can we be filled with the Spirit? Now, isn't that like above and beyond us? Well, it is. It really is, because we can't control God. God, the Holy Spirit, does what He likes, if you like. But only God can fill us with His Spirit. It's not something we can do on our own. And yet there is a part to play, because you can open or close the door to the Holy Spirit in your life. So how does that work? If you are closed to the work of the Spirit has a hard time getting in and working in your life to convict you of sin, to guide you in the faith, and to help you become like Jesus. I like this quote by Reverend Stan Mast, one of my Bible teachers for this series, and I think it's worth reading, because he really helps us get a good handle on what it means to be filled with the Spirit, which is a very tricky, it's a difficult thing to understand. And this is what he says. We do not receive the Spirit all at once and forever. And at this point, I'll say think conversion, like, you know, opening our hearts to God, and then God comes in through the Spirit. But to be filled with the Spirit is an ongoing process. We must be repeatedly and progressively filled with the Spirit so that we are under the influence of the Spirit, indeed controlled by the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is the opposite of DWI, driving while intoxicated, or DUI, driving under the influence. It means LWI, living while influenced by the Spirit, or LUI, living under the Spirit's influence. Only the Spirit of Jesus can lead us into the truth so that we can spot the opportunities and understand what the Lord's will is in life. Isn't that helpful? I love his acronyms there. We're called to be LWI, living while influenced by the Spirit, or LUI, living under the Spirit's influence. And again, Reverend Stan Mass playing on Paul's analogy with drunkenness and the Spirit. This is what we're called to do. But it's still a challenging concept. How can we be filled with the Spirit? So Reverend Stan Mass gives us an illustration to help us. He's thinking of a father and a son. A little boy comes to his father with a problem. His hand is stuck in a vase. You can just imagine that. You know, kind of that small opening, and his hand is stuck. And as the father's trying to help the son pull his hand out of the vase, it's stuck at the opening. The little boy can't get his hand out. And his father says, "Okay, son, now open your fingers like this. Open your fingers so you can pull your hand out of the vase." And the son says, "No, Dad, I can't do that. If I do, I'll lose my quarter." Can you imagine it? If we do not open our hands and release the quarter of sin, we cannot be filled with the Spirit. You get that? If we're clinging to sin in our lives, we cannot be filled with the Spirit. Now, if you're a follower of Christ and Jesus is your Lord, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, if Jesus is your Lord, you are filled with the Spirit. And what is the Spirit doing at that moment? He is convicting you. He is saying, open up your hand, release it, let it go. Let go of the sin in your life. Don't cling to it any longer. And then you can pull your hand out of the vase. And then you can be filled with the Spirit. It's beautiful. Okay, so now we know who the Spirit is and we know how to be filled with the Spirit. How do I know I'm filled with the Spirit? Well, there's many things we could talk about at this point. We could reference Romans chapter 8, where Paul says, if you feel that you are a child of God, if you feel God's love, because nothing can take you away from God's love, Romans chapter 8, if you feel God's love, if God is your loving Father and you know that you are filled with the Spirit. But Paul chooses to talk about three characteristics or three things that characterize life in the Spirit. The first one is singing. This, I think, was the great discovery of the text for me. We come here and sing our songs of praise to the Lord. But Paul is saying, actually, singing to God is a sign of being filled with the Spirit. Wow. Think about that. You could probably also argue that singing songs of praise to God helps you be filled with the Spirit. But according to the Bible teachers I followed here, there's five participles in this passage. It's actually saying, you don't need to know that, but I do, right? Participles are the ing words, right? Paul is actually saying, he's not commanding us to do these things. He's saying these are signs of being filled with the Spirit. So, but what do you might say, well, Pastor, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. How am I supposed to sing songs of praise to the Lord? You know what? It's not so much about the actual singing of songs, although singing in the sanctuary is extremely important. Never underestimate the power of song or music to help us express our joy of the Lord. But Paul, I think, is saying, is there a song in your heart? Has God touched you? Have you experienced the gospel? Is there a song in your heart? If Jesus is truly your Lord and you have really received the gospel, the good news about what God has done through Christ, there is a song in your heart. And that song is just singing. And we need to let that song out. I think, and as we sing our songs of praise in the sanctuary and outside of the sanctuary, we just experience the joy of the Lord in all its fullness. And it glorifies God, and it's a sign that you are filled with the Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? So I wonder what this means for congregational singing. I wonder if congregational singing is more important than we know. I think it is. The second sign that we are filled with the Spirit is giving thanks. And Paul, if you follow his letters, this is a huge theme for him. Paul is, he is a very grateful person. And he says, if you are filled with the Spirit, you are a grateful person too. I love what one of my mentors in writing and preaching, Reverend M. Craig Barnes, writes. He says this: it is impossible to be grateful and angry, cynical, envious, mean, or self-absorbed. Gratitude pushes away those negative emotions. For this reason, gratitude may be the best measure of our spirituality. Think about that. And you might think, well, do I have to thank God for everything? I mean, Paul says, verse 20, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. Well, yes, it's you do. But what about evil? No, we don't thank God for evil, right? We pray against it and we fight against it. But there's a sense that we trust our good Father so much that we know that he's holding us in the palm of his loving fatherly hand. We can trust him. We can thank him for everything in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Right? And then we can move forward in faith. This giving thanks is a sign of being filled with the Spirit. And finally, the third sign is mutual submission. This is also a very interesting point because, you see, a lot of commentaries or even our scriptures, like I'm holding a copy of the New International Version, it actually stops this passage at verse 20. So I followed that separation. But in the original Greek language, verses 18 to 21 is one long sentence. Now, how interesting is that? Think about it. Look at if your Bible's open, verses 18 to 21, one long sentence, meaning verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, is actually part of the previous passage. So mutual submission is a sign of being filled with the Spirit. So what does that mean? That means that as we worship together, serve together as the body of Christ, as we live and work together, we are willing to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Meaning we are willing to serve each other. We're willing to think of others first. We're willing to put the church first before our own needs. So you can think about that, what that might look like in your life and in the life of the church. It's not doing whatever you want. It's actually doing what's best for the body of Christ. That is mutual submission. And then if you want some examples, you go on in Ephesians chapter 5 and 6 and see how Paul fleshes this out, this idea of mutual submission, talking about mutual submission in marriage and family life, and then also in the workplace. So I encourage you to read the rest of chapter 5 and 6 of Ephesians and then learn more about what that means. So there we have it, a short but dense passage of Scripture that is helping us understand what it means to live as children of light in the world. And Paul says, how do we do that? We do that by being wise, by making the most of every opportunity. How do we do that? We do that by being filled with the Spirit. And the Spirit, as we open our hearts to God, as we let go of the sin in our lives, the Spirit, and as we commit our lives to Christ and are baptized, the Spirit enters in. And the Spirit is the one who comforts us and counsels us, convicts us of sin, and helps us become the holy, godly, Christ-like people that He's calling us to be. And it's when we are filled with the Spirit that we are able to experience the joy of the Lord that we just have to let out through our singing. We're able to give thanks in all things because our hearts are full of gratitude for what God has done for us through Christ. And we're able to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So brothers and sisters, let us determine today that we are going to follow this teaching of the Lord, that we are going to seek to be children of light by being filled with the Holy Spirit, and let us do whatever it takes. The Spirit's guiding us. Let us obey the Spirit and do whatever it takes to become the Spirit-filled people God is calling us to be. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, you have spoken your life-giving word to us once again. And in doing so, God the Father, you have revealed yourself to us as Creator and King. And in doing so, God the Son, you have revealed yourself to us as the Savior and Lord of the world. And in doing so, God the Holy Spirit, you have revealed yourself to us as the sanctifier of the people of God. All praise be to you, Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Thank you for showing us today through your word how to live as children of light, how to be wise and make the most of every opportunity. Forgive us for going our own way and wasting our lives with various activities that really are not that important. Help us to focus our lives on you and doing what you're calling us to do. Fill us with your Spirit, O Lord, and affirm us through those signs that we've just learned through Ephesians chapter 5. O Lord, may we sing our hearts out to you with the joy of the Lord. May we give thanks to you for everything in the name of our Lord. And may we submit to each other out of reverence for Christ. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Please stand and join with us as we sing in response to God's word.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory and creation revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. Didn't want